This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Devin Jopp. He is the president and CEO of an organization called WEDI. It's the Work Group for Electronic Data Exchange, and most folks call it WEDI, but it's spelled W-E-D-I. Good morning, Devin. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous, John. Thanks for having me on your show today.
Well, we're going to talk about healthcare interoperability standards and well, nothing much to talk about in the world of healthcare, is there, Devin? This is going to be our first five-hour show.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And then we'll have to do the 5 hours tomorrow, too. Huh?
I brought my sleeping bag in case we run long today.
Yeah. Well, let's tell the listeners a little about your background and how you wound up working for WEDI, please.
You bet. I started actually with WEDI about 2 years ago. And in fact, just last week celebrated my second anniversary. Prior to that, I've worked in operations and technology for a number of different nonprofits and have been circling around the healthcare area for a number of years, worked going back in time as the CIO and also Chief Operating Officer of Business Programs for Health Insurance Association of America. They actually merged and became America's Health Insurance Plans, the leading trade association for health plans. And then also went to work as the Chief Operating Officer for URAC. And did a stint helping out small business as Chief Operating Officer of Service Corps of Retired Executives before coming over to WEDI. So I've known about them for years. They've done fabulous work and certainly excited to kind of share a little bit more about kind of where we come from and some of our background there.
You know, people can throw this term out all the time. Well, visionary, that guy's a visionary. Steve Jobs is a visionary, that guy's a visionary. John Gilroy's a visionary. Well, no one believes that. But there are visionaries out there. And back in the early 90s, when this wasn't front page of the Washington Post problem. Back in the early 90s, there's some smart people that are scratching their heads saying, we got to come up with ways to reduce costs for healthcare. And how can we do this? And they said, well, looky here, we have to exchange information in a uniform manner, and that will reduce costs. This was 20 years ago. This is way before, you know, smartphones and tweeting and everything. But this is a visionary organization.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting for you here to say that. And it's kind of going back in time. The fascinating thing was back when Dr. Louis Sullivan, who was Secretary of HHS, you know, he really saw the need and the challenge out there that we were a paper-based organization. Costs were eating up the healthcare system. They were at about 11%, if you will, back then of our nation's expenditures, and have climbed even since then to 16%. But imagine if we hadn't been able to do anything in terms of trying to figure out how to use technology to actually solve some of these challenges. And so he actually really was the visionary that we could thank today for, I would say, much of the health IT work that we've seen in the expansion. So a fabulous guy and who really took a lot of risk back in his day.
So WEDI was founded in 1991. Is that the year?
That's correct. He actually had a crazy idea. He said, you know, I'm going to try to bring government and private industry together to try to do something.
And people run screaming from the room. A public-private partnership? No.
How about that, right? And so he turned back then to the CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield Association and the CEO of then Travelers Insurance, which was no stranger to health insurance back then.
And so he called him up and said, hey, I got this crazy idea. Right. They didn't slam down the phone.
No, I have an offer you can't refuse. And you know, I've talked to both those gentlemen, Joe Brophy and Barney Trzesnowski. They're retired right now. And they said, I said, why, you know, why did you kind of
why
do
would
this?
Why would you be that crazy?
Right? And they said, because Dr. Sullivan asked.
Ah. ah, now we know why, you know. If Ben Franklin says, I got an idea about lightning, oh, okay, lightning rod, maybe. So the same kind of thing, a visionary in the early 90s. Wow.
You bet.
And listeners should know, this was before HTTP. This is before the internet got popular. This was before even AOL got popular. Pre-1995 was really like the Middle Ages in technology. It really was early.
You bet. And it was interesting because I think what he saw with them was really an opportunity for, and he said this just the other day, in fact, for us to do a civic duty, right? And he saw health IT and the way that we could actually deploy it as a way for us to really help our nation's healthcare system. And so going back in time, he asked these folks to go and get others in the industry together to form a working group for electronic data interchange. And they actually began looking at how to really begin transacting business with using standards and interoperability, particularly in the administrative world back then, to really begin solving these problems. So you're right. It was really one of those things where he saw the need and gathered the forces to kind of go in there. I often get joked about this. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we actually issued some of our early work about 3 months before the World Wide Web came out. So timing's everything.
Yeah. Well, back in 91, I was still in diapers, of course. But back in 91, what I've read is that they were companies with proprietary information and systems, and let's call them companies like IBM, who had their way, and the phrase is my way or the highway. Well, it was their way or no other way, and a competing company would have another system, let's say digital, and they would, you know, they wanted everyone to use digital or IBM or whatever it happened to be. Back then, there was a company called Wang, and there were feuds. That was like in the West Virginia Mountains and the Hatfield and McCoys, wasn't it? And they were feuding.
You know, it wasn't easy, and I think there was a lot of concern about whether we could actually get people to agree to do these things. But I think there was a compelling case, as I have been told, the lore in ancient history of Wheaties, and in that first meeting, there was a lot of arguing, a lot of disagreements. But at the end of the day, there was some ideas that were thrown out there, and people said, gee, you know, yeah, we could do this, and it's not that hard.
Yeah.
And so that was really kind of the how we got to deal with some of these issues, particularly trying to figure out how to move money for care back then was a huge challenge.
So Dr. Louis Sullivan at HHS, he had this insight that maybe sometime down the road it might be important to exchange information in a uniform manner, come up with a public-private partnership to improve quality, increase affordability and availability of healthcare. And the methods, there's a method to the methods. The method is through conferences, forums, and online resources. Is that a good summary?
That's a fabulous summary. In fact, so we've been now celebrating our 20th anniversary, in fact, since that initial report. And I should say that initial report ultimately went on to become the cornerstone for the HIPAA legislation, where Weedy was actually named as an advisor to the secretary of HHS. So we fill that role today. And so, yes, we run about 40 different work groups now where we convene industry. We have over 400 members right now as well, government, private industry as well. And then we also really do a number of different conferences and forums on various different topics to try to raise awareness. So, yes, excellent recap, John.
So if you want to get more information, it's wedi.org. And I had a gentleman named Lee Barrett in the studio here. We were talking about healthcare and standards and compliance and accreditation and bounce. And I keep thinking of Chicago and American Medical Association and American Dental Association and all those medical folks in Chicago that just overwhelmed. And I figured that WEDI, Weedy, would be in Chicago. It's right in my backyard. Right here in Reston, Virginia, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you dropped Lee's name, and if Lee ever listens to the program, but, you know, I'm going to tell him on this one. He actually worked for Joe Brophy, one of the founders, and was actually assigned to actually help create Weedy. So we have a long-standing history with that.
So he was back in the early days.
I said he was one of the godfathers, I guess.
So. Wow, we're very careful about naming those organizations around here. So we have a public-private partnership trying to reduce costs in healthcare, improve outcomes, reduce costs. We know what that means. And it's been a 20-year battle. And a lot of things are coming up. In fact, there's a new report coming up in January at the anniversary. Is that right?
That's right. You know, I think we've come a long way and have done a lot together, but there's still a lot more that needs to get done in healthcare. We still lag behind a lot of other industries out there. And so we have actually pulled Dr. Sullivan out of retirement and re-engaged him.
No golf for you. No golf for you, buddy.
if you ever get to know him, he's an amazingly busy guy. He also actually does a lot of work in Africa and actually starting medical school right now over there. So we actually are reconvening a new group and have done so. In fact, they met yesterday. To talk about where are we looking towards the future, the next 10 years. We probably won't wait 20 years to do another roadmap here, but as that first report became the roadmap for health IT, now where do we go from here? Knowing that we have these new things like cloud technologies, mobile, and pay for quality, health insurance exchanges, there's lots of changes now, and so we're trying to get ready to help guide industry through that as well.
You know, a health insurance exchange a year ago was a rather focused, targeted, arcane bit of knowledge. Here, October 2013, more and more people are talking about it. I would imagine by January, you'd walk into a coffee shop, there's be guy, mechanics talking about, lawyers talking about it, truck drivers. Everyone's going to be interested in this topic that was just limited to a certain group of people many years ago. Let's take a break. We come back, talk more about WEDI, W-E-D-I, and see how it compares with other organizations like HL7 and what's an SDO and what's that all about, standards and how they have impact on healthcare and how does it impact my listeners? You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Devin Jopp, President and CEO of WEDI, W-E-D-I. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Devin Jopp. He's the President and CEO at WEDI, W-E-D-I. That's the work group for Electronic Data Exchange. They focus on healthcare IT. And today we're talking about WEDI itself. We spent the first block talking about how it was founded and the whole idea. 20 years ago, somebody had the idea that maybe they should attempt to reduce costs in healthcare by helping information being transferred back and forth between proprietary systems back then. And I think everyone knows what's been going on with the healthcare industry and the internet and everything else. Tell me about the roadmap that was put together in the early 90s and maybe a change here coming up. And you think technology has changed in the last 15 years? You may have to have a new roadmap? Or
Well, let me pull my floppy disk out.
And here's the report.
It's interesting. The first WEDI report that came out really set the groundwork for a lot of the standard transactions that you saw and see today, things like claim transactions. For those of you that are techies like myself, 835s and 837s, which are ANSI X12 standards, things like eligibility, acknowledgments. There was also recommendations in there around training and things that would need to happen for the industry to adopt this. So that was kind of the initial roadmap. Actually had a roadmap of when things actually should get done. And we were right on some things, and some things that we said were going to be done in 6 months. Here we are 20 years later, like acknowledgments, which we still haven't done. So that was kind of our first roadmap that has really guided us. And since then, we've had a lot of other laws, things like high tech, the Affordable Care Act, that really built on top of the HIPAA legislation. But that core really is the base of where we started from.
You tossed out ANSI. I'm sure many listeners have heard of ANSI. There are some listeners who've heard of other organizations that are maybe similar to WEDI, maybe different. There's HL7. There's this thing called SNO, SNOMED. I mean, tell us about the differences and how everyone kind of interacts.
Yeah, so when you get into the world of standards and vocabulary and data content, it's a pretty overwhelming world. But maybe I can first start off by saying what WEDI is not, which is we are not a standards development organization.
An SDO, got it.
We are not an SDO. However, we have many of the SDOs involved in the administrative world of transactions actually on our board. We have groups like NCPDP, National Council of Prescription Drug Plans, ASC X12, CAQH Core, which develops operating rules, and HL7, who probably many of your listeners are familiar with as well, that do a lot of work in clinical standards.
I was just thinking about BASF. We just make the product better. It's like we're not an SDO; we make SDOs better.
it's very interesting. I think what WEDI really does well is we engage the business of industry to actually come up with what are the business issues that we're dealing with, and many of those get parsed out to the other organizations and standards organizations for actual technical development for standards. And so our board members, in addition to those folks, also include, we have equal number of hospitals, health plans, and also government agencies on board. So it gives us a nice roundabout look of the healthcare system and it'll really identify what these key issues are.
I was at a HIMSS meeting, and nothing to do with going to church. It's healthcare informatics meeting last week, and they're talking about portals. And I figured, well, portal will talk about service level agreements and speed. And one of the topics they brought up is what's really important for our portal is to understand interoperability. I'm going, well, geez, this goes right back to Devin again. Does goes right back to you guys and this guy 20 years ago had scratched his head and come up with this idea. It's falls back into this.
Yeah, it's amazing what kind of goes around comes around, right? And you know, back then in the '90s, we were worried about, well, how do you move this information, the administrative side of healthcare, between organizations, right? And so we came up with how to do it. We came up with things like clearinghouses. Well, now you move forward to the day and we say, well, we got to move the data between these EHR systems. We got to get them in the facilities and move the data.
Electronic health record, EHR.
Electronic health records. Yep, thank you. And so we came up with now health information exchanges, HIEs, which do a lot of the similar things that clearinghouses do. So I think there's a lot of things we're relearning in the clinical side now that we probably went through with the administrative years ago. And the next great kind of wave of all of this is, how do we actually marry the two? As we start looking at things like pay for quality, that's really going to help force us to change and think very differently about how do we actually look at these. They're not two different pockets of data anymore.
When I think of a standards developing organization or an SDO, I think of process standards like, I guess, ICD-10 and maybe transaction standards like HL7, but what you would do is you would work with both groups and try to improve both. Am I reading this correctly? Or
yep. So just a small technical difference. ICD-10 is actually a vocabulary, right?
Not a process, more vocabulary than a process.
Right. So rather than like a standard, where like HL7 would be writing a standard, ICD-10 is actually a recognized or agreed upon vocabulary set.
And who would, what standard organization would develop that then?
There's an international organization that actually develops that. Uh-huh. And then the U.S. actually has its own version of that. And so one of the things that WEDI does, for example, in ICD-10 is we actually work on stakeholders on how to implement that. So what are the key business challenges, the issues that we need to do? How do you test it? How do you make sure that this is really going to work?
And how do you monitor it?
You bet. And you know, there's a big difference between the number of 9 codes and 10 codes. And we're helping industry really try to figure out how do they really make this happen in their organizations, knowing that we are almost T-minus 1 year to implementation required.
Now, I don't want to give away the story before the release in December, but I would think that ICD-10 would be part of the next road plan here. Is it roadmap? Is that right?
You know, I think what ICD-10 will be simply because it will change the way that we actually are able to get data out of our systems. So before, John, if you broke your arm in ICD-9, you would have had a broken arm as a code. Now you would have had a broken arm, right? And you would have done it by falling down on the ground or having it chopped, or you know, there's a number of different codes out there. So there's a specificity that's going to help us to better analyze, hopefully, our data and understand what's going on within the healthcare system.
I went to your Twitter feed and I looked at your last 10, 15 tweets, and one of them is understanding healthcare law. One of them is understanding healthcare exchanges. Another one is this a fall conference coming up to help you understand this process? Then there's, well, geez, this is a security standards matrix. And then here's a forum. It seems like what you're trying to encourage people to do is okay, if this is a new standard, we're going to give you 5 best practices to implement the standard. You don't have to use them. We can tell, well, this is what other people have found to be effective.
Yeah, and I think that's the magic that makes WEDI work. You know, we have all these organizations that belong to WEDI come together to really help exchange best practices and come up with guidance that's going to help each other. And I always am very proud of the organization because it really is, going back to that civic component, I think these organizations see it as our ability to actually do this together. And so these best practices in areas like security and privacy or ICD-10 or HIEs are really kind of great ways that we can provide a compilation of materials for industry that they can use and help guide their own implementation efforts. One thing I should note is all of the information that WEDI actually develops is actually free to the public as well. And so we do try to work very hard to get the information out in the hands of the folks that need it.
And your organization has very specific work groups and with defined sets, terms, and for example, one's dental. I mean, who thought of that? I mean, there's specific groups within you. You want to name them for our audience so they'll know which ones you have out there?
Sure. Well, I had to do dental because my wife's a dentist. So,
you don't have a choice.
one of them is actually ACO and bundled payments, and actually probably even broader is pay for quality. We're looking at the ins and outs of what's required in order to implement, not necessarily...
not define, but implement.
Right.
Yeah.
How do we do this?
It's almost like applied engineering versus theoretical engineering, huh?
It's a good point. And, you know, a lot of these things, because it's so new, what's happening in some of these arrangements is we're actually sending data in Excel spreadsheets. That's a little bit of a step backwards. And so we've got a lot of work to do here as folks get used to these. Dental is actually looking at real-time claims adjudication. Again, for those of you that are excited about this area, it's trying to look at how do we come up with estimating charges for patients in real time rather than actually having to submit the claim and have a long delay in terms of getting that back around, or at least a delay, I should say. Health information exchange are the area where we actually look at the clinical data exchanges that's going on between the states as they all try to figure out how to take the data
this is
out.
The data exchange, yeah.
Yes.
This is your sweet spot, I would think.
Yeah. You bet. It's a critical part of where we're moving in the future. Health insurance exchanges, obviously, that's probably near and dear to many of your listeners' hearts. We've obviously been looking at doing a lot of education, by and large, on these exchanges.
What does it mean? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the other actual work groups you have here. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Devin Jopp, President and CEO at Weedy, WEDI. Get more information at WEDI.org. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Devin Jopp. He's a President and CEO at a group called Weedy, WEDI. Stands for the Work Group for Electronic Data Exchange, focusing on healthcare IT. And actually, it's a bunch of work groups. And before the break, we talked about three or four of them. Let's complete the discussion about the work groups that you work with so people understand exactly the different fields that you're interested in. I think we went through several. We went through ACO, dental, HIE, HIX. What are the other ones that you work with?
Sure. We have one on Health Plan Identifier, which is a new one that's coming out.
NIST has got a big ID conference coming up in October. The identifier is like, who are you?
Yeah. Identity is coming back. And I keep, I know one of the things we've even been talking about in the 2013 Weedy report is the individual identifier. And I think we're going to have to figure this out here sooner rather than later.
You know, and up in Canada, they have them. It seems to work. But it's an emotional topic here. So it's put the red on that one.
Well, and as of what last week, a lot of people are just willing to give Apple their thumbprint. So, the times are changing.
Yeah.
ICD-10, obviously, is a huge area of focus for us as well. So security and privacy has been a longstanding area of Weedy, where we actually look at how to help organizations with all these challenges.
Are healthcare records. Oh, I get it. Some people are concerned about security. No, you're kidding me? People are concerned about their healthcare records, Devin? Well, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. And, with the new omnibus rule that just came out, Weedy worked with Office of Civil Rights, and actually we have a number of different webinars for free on our website if you want to check them out. And then finally, transactions and code sets, actually looking at things like transactions and eligibility and what needs to get continue to be done there. And we're about to announce a new one actually very soon on unique device identifiers, which just came out.
And certainly tons on the market. And guess what? Hold on your hats. It's going to be more in the next year.
Yeah, and there's a lot of requirements around this, and we're trying to figure out how do you actually exchange the device identifier information between the parties. And so particularly for implants, how do you make sure that you have that number and can get it back in case there's recalls?
Yeah, that would be important if you have one of those.
Yeah.
Many of my listeners read blogs. I'll be blogging about this interview here. You can find me. You can type in John Gilroy blog. You can type in Tech Tuesday blog, all kinds of things. What I noticed at WEDI.org is that you have an active listserv, but I didn't see any blogs there. Do you read blogs or...
You know, I'm a blogger and quitter, or I guess what they call, it used to be a twit and quit, but... we started one and we just haven't been able to feed it just because of time and his staff resources, but we do plan to reinstitute it this year. I have to tell you about my best blog that I actually do in terms of being most up to date is the ones about my kids, but I don't think that's much about healthcare.
No, there are a lot of associations in town that are very, very active and listservs. And for example, ASAE has it's an association for associations and those listservs are very active. And I know several people in education accreditation who are very active in listserv because it is almost a walled garden and they can be very careful about their comments. They can say, oh, that Gilroy is an idiot, and no one can find out. And everyone understand what that means. And it's a freer way with some sensitive information about healthcare standards and about exposing data. You can't really expose too much of that to inquiring Washington Post reporters.
It's true. And our members do really enjoy the listservs. They can subscribe by different topics. And so it's also very passive, right? So once you subscribe, it just shows up in your inbox and have it with your cup of coffee. But we do also LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And I'd say Twitter, we're probably even the most active on. So if you want to go, we're Weedy Online. If you go to twitter.com/WeedyOnline, and same thing for Facebook.
When I attend hymns meetings all over the place, it seems like the golden, you know, the end of the rainbow, the whatever you want to call it, the pot of gold is patient engagement. I mean, this day, patient engagement. I would think that patient or consumer engagement would be a trend that Weedy would probably have to maybe take a look at in the next decade. It just seems like, you know, if you can reduce healthcare costs by involving the patient, then let's go ahead and play around with this. I mean, if someone can monitor their glucose level, well, why not?
You could actually be writing the 2013 Weedy report, John. You know, patient engagement is actually one of the four areas we're actually looking at, in addition to areas of data harmonization, innovative encounters, and then payment models is kind of the four areas. And obviously, I can't spill the beans yet about where we are, but that report will be done by December 5th, and we'll actually have an event here at the Press Club to unveil the future roadmap. But patient engagement, I think the role of the consumer is really critical, and we know that the patients are being asked to take more care of themselves, and we have more tools available than we ever have had, and a lot of the models that are out there also really are going to require that. And I think, you know, when you've got your children or your grandparents at home, or even your own care, having the ability to access that data easily and quickly is going to absolutely be an imperative.
One of the folks I follow on Twitter is a guy named Dr. Harry Greenspun. He's not only a physician, but very active in this area. And he retweets and tweets about new reduction in costs with electronic health records. And he can document it, and he can tell a good story, and he can tell it from a practitioner's perspective as well. And so what I'm looking at, these personal health records and electronic health records, and there are some health records that you can download, and some health records you could put information in yourself. And then all of a sudden, the clinicians out there will go, "No, wait a minute, Devin. Wait a minute. You're a fine, fine fellow, but you can't put stuff in your record." And I think this is, you know, I think this is an issue that it's just come up really in the last few years.
Yeah, you know, what goes in and what doesn't go in your personal health record, I think, is ultimately is a debate. But, you know, there's tools out there now that can help us too, right? Where we allow actually patients to opt in or opt out certain things that they don't want in their records. I go back and, you know, particularly if somebody's HIV positive or something that might be that they don't want to be in their records, there has to be a discussion, debate, and a plan around how do we actually deal with that. The other thing we've been focusing on is maybe you not really need to boil the ocean in terms of a full record, but what's really required if you have to go to the ER, right? You know, we don't necessarily need to know your full patient family history here, but what are the things we really
need? What are you allergic to? That's number one question.
Right.
Yeah. Are you diabetic?
What's your blood type? Right.
I've been in this technology world for many years. I've seen a lot of fights. I remember back in the early days, there's a company called Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, and they made external modems, which you'd plug into your desktop computer.
You're dating yourself now.
I know. And what happened with Hayes is they came up with a standard way to exchange information. And I kind of casually use that word standard, but it became the standard that everyone accepted because this is Hayes' way of doing things. And that's how we're going to exchange information back and forth. And I guess getting back to the theory about standards and deploying standards, are there standards that are just informally universally accepted? Well, that's the way Devin does it, and that's where we're going to do it here. And then there's more formalized standards. And how do you differentiate? And maybe I'm just applying the world of, for example, HP used to have a printer, and they had PCI interface, and everyone said, well, we do it this way because HP does it this way. An informal standard, sometimes the informal rules are much more powerful.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. And I think healthcare has kind of gotten into the habit of, you know, we do things that obviously are required by regulation or legislation. But, you know, there's a lot of standards out there.
Phew.
Right. And one of the things, in fact, we were just chatting about this the other day, is the challenge of voluntary adoption of standards. And I think one of the things that's going to be incumbent upon our success as a nation to actually roll out health IT in the future is got to be us to make the business case for these things and to get private industry to help lead the way. Because I think it's the innovation, the creativity that we can apply these things. But to your point, yeah, there's a lot of standards you could do that are optional. For example, acknowledgments and claims. But you're required to do the actual claim transaction, which is an 835 and 837 by law, so and by regulation. So those are really kind of the differences that are out there. And whether it's HL7 or X12 or others, there's a core set that obviously are required, and then there are, of course, the other sets that are really optional.
I don't want to just focus on the United States, but when you talk about an ANSI specification, it's the American National Standards. And so what about international standards? I mean, do you work with international organizations, or do they view you as like, oh, those folks are just using English inches and feet, and we're using metrics, or this part of international community, or where you fit in internationally?
You know, I would say WEDI itself has really focused on the U.S. market, and I think you're right. There's a lot that can be learned between other countries. You know, such as South Korea does a tremendous job with technology. I would say we have some plans that we're going to be announcing probably in December to talk about some of the how we're going to actually begin to look at some of the international innovations out there, and then we can do a little bit of a push pull between the U.S. As well. There's also a lot of work, obviously, that's done by a lot of the federal agencies, like Office of National Coordinator, where they're actually starting to harmonize or look at some of these international efforts.
Yeah, makes sense. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about social media and Twitter and talk about, where is this all heading? And maybe in December, we'll get some more insight on where you think it's going to head and the roadmap ahead, and talk about the future of exchanging healthcare IT information. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Devin Jopp, President and CEO at WEDI, WEDI.org. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Devin Jopp, President and CEO of WEDI, WEDI, Work Group for Electronic Data Exchange. They work with a wide range of organizations to help them implement ways to exchange healthcare data to reduce costs. And that's the magic of this group, is that 20 years ago, someone came up with this clever idea that we got to reduce costs in healthcare IT. Maybe if we have systems that can electronically transact business, this might be a good idea. And this is the fruition of some good ideas from many years ago. Several of our listeners and I on Twitter all the time, you have a Twitter handle. It's at WEDI Online. Is that correct, Devin?
That is correct.
So you can follow him there. Go to his website, WEDI.org. If you go there, you'll see this flashing screen. It'll say, meeting coming up in November in Maryland. Well, what's this meeting?
Yeah, you know, it's we actually hope your listeners can come join us. It's being held November 18th through the 21st at the Gaylord over at National Harbor. And we actually have titled this the tipping point for health IT, because I think we've got a lot going on that we need to talk about in terms of where all this is heading, as we've been kind of discussing today. So we're going to actually be joined by Dr. Lewis Sullivan himself, actually, who's going to keynote and kick us off and actually talk a little bit about what's been going on with the Reedy Report to help folks really prepare for the future. We also were going to be joined by former Senator Trent Lott, who's going to come and really kind of talk about some of the climate around how do we move this forward as a nation from his vast experience, obviously, as a senator. And then we also have two other speakers, or actually probably several other speakers, but I think the other notable one to mention here is the chief medical officer for HCS. He's going to be there, who is also a very early pioneer for Blue Button, which for those of you not familiar with that.
It's exploded. It's everywhere.
And so obviously the downloadable personal health information, which by the way, WEDI is going to be working, doing some work with this, particularly in the payer environment, around trying to get the claims data out in that same format. So a lot going on here.
That's almost a Steve Jobs experience, where they come up with this idea and, hey, I got this idea, maybe let people maybe download information in case they travel, and maybe we'll get 20,000 people. And there's millions. It's just, what a great idea.
Yeah, and I think with VA and obviously CMS, they've done a lot in this area already. So it's got a core to kind of move towards. But obviously, the next step there is how do you really systematize this, and then how do you also obviously get it on your cell phone, right?
And mobile madness. It's important.
You bet.
If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Ray Gilray. And there are several people who are listening to the show going, well, this Devin guy, yeah, healthcare IT. I wonder what kind of cell phone he has. So what I've done is I've constructed a scientific 10-question test that will rate you on the nerd scale and find out if, in fact, Devin, you are a card-carrying nerd. And everyone has to take this test, so I'm going to give it to you right now. First question is, if I go over your house this afternoon, are there going to be any desktop computers in your house at all? How many desktops do you own?
Well, actually, I've moved to cyborg implants.
Wow, he is a nerd. Wow. Need a pocket protector and a bow tie or something.
Yeah, so we went right past Google Glasses.
Yeah, we bought that one.
Actually, I got my first PC when I was 8 years old.
Whoa, you are a nerd then. That's a nerd point.
It was a dual boot floppy XT.
I remember well.
Yep. I think it was 10 hertz, with megahertz, I guess, back then.
Extra technology. Then you get an AT, an advanced technology. I remember those terms. Great.
And
when did you get your first cell phone?
That was actually when I was one. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
It was when I was about 22. Hmm. And it took me a long time. I really actually didn't want a cell phone for a long time. But it was one of those big Qualcomm phones. I don't know if you remember them. They were dual band at the time. Mm-hmm. So.
And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's Devin Jopp. So twitter.com/Devin Jopp.
You're getting all this stuff. Do you have a personal blog?
I do. It's on blogger.com.
Wow, you're kind of coming out of the back of the pack, moving forward.
I'm going to have to start failing a few of these questions.
Really? No one's going to invite you to Christmas parties. Devin's not coming to my Christmas party.
Right. The Starship Enterprise is going to pick me up here any moment.
Yeah.
So.
You'll get together with some Trekkers and talk about Star Trek. Do you use any personal online backup services?
Everything we do in my office is actually backed up on a cloud system. So we're 100% cloud-based in the office.
And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a Apple iPhone 4S, but I have to note, John, the back cover is broken, and I have been told that with the younger crowd, it's very popular.
No, so. It's stylish. Yes. It's like jeans with holes in them, I guess. It's very stylish.
Just roll up the jeans now, right?
Yeah. And in a typical month, how many apps do you use on your iPhone?
You know, I am probably in the 30 to 40 app range at any given time.
Hmm. And if you go over your house this afternoon, how many tablets will be floating around there? How many tablet devices of any sort?
Oh, there's only about 5 tablets.
Only 5? You know, a year ago it was, do you have, now it's how many? It's just in the 12 months.
Yeah, well, you know, I've
it's
got
like
a,
how many? It's a,
between my wife and I have a 5, 4, and 3-year-old, you know, I've got to keep a couple tablets around the house.
More than a couple. What social networking sites are you active in?
Particularly LinkedIn. I have to tell you, I'm on Facebook, but not particularly active, so... Per a lot of my friend's chagrin.
And here's the differentiator. The last book you read was electronic or paper?
Electronic.
You're moving up on the don't get invited to the Christmas party scale. You have to tell your wife, oh, it's too bad. We have to sit home this year because I'm a big nerd and no one likes me. And she said, I've known that all along. Oh, that's interesting. No, we broadcast from the studio. They do these hockey games. They used to have this. They literally had an eight ball, magic eight ball, and they'd try to predict scores. And I used to hand it to my guests and don't have. I'll figuratively hand you the crystal ball here and say, "Well, Devin, you've seen a lot of different things here. Where's this heading in the next 5 to 8 years? I mean, are you going to iron out these wrinkles? It sounds like a lot of the goals from 20 years ago, some of them have been implemented, some haven't.
Yeah.
What's the hang-up? Is it back to the old human being problem now? Or is it, where's it all heading?
Yeah, you know, I think the challenge has been, and you obviously hear healthcare always compared to, aviation or the financial systems. I think one of the challenges in healthcare is it's very fragmented. There are a lot of players. And so we've had, you bring the human people back into it. There's a lot of people that you have to get on board and move in a different direction. You also have 50 states involved with the federal government and various different regulations and different flavors. So that has made it, I think, a little bit more complicated. But we have to figure this out. It's a national imperative. And, what we know today is because it still isn't to the level that it needs to be, our country is losing a lot of money. And we also have a quality problem still. And, we have patients that are still, dying today because we don't have the information at the right place at the right time.
So. I was thinking of an analogy here. My wife drives a brand new car, and I drive an old car. and it's like the mechanics say, well, if it's leaking something on oil, we can get it by. But after a certain point in time, you got to put on some new header or something. And I'm thinking about the healthcare system. Well, the healthcare system right now is broken. I mean, it just is. The well baby visits, people show up in emergency rooms. It's not the right use for hospital resources. Something has to change. And there's a perfect storm right now where something has to change. And whether you like it or not, you can like Obama, not like him, like the hospital, not like it. It's just not working. You're going to have to replace the car or put in a new motor. You got to do something.
Yeah. No, and I think you're right. And I think, you know, there are some trends here, and I think they will get ironed out, and they have to. And I think, you know, what I've seen with the industry that we've been working with and these leaders is there is a willingness and a cooperation, a spirit of cooperation to make it happen. I think everybody realizes that things like mobile are here to stay. Latest stats is, you know, 80% of people under the age of 34 have a smartphone. That's just a reality, and they're going to expect their care to be delivered via the phone. We can take a picture of a check, have it deposited in our bank account, but why can't we do innovative encounters with our smartphones and do doctor visits, you know, my dermatologist perhaps? Yeah, but there's regulation and other things that have to get changed to deal with that. There's also pay for quality. And I think, you know, by and large, we will be moving away from fee for service as a nation and moving to pay for quality. And so that's, I think, a good thing for America. It's a good thing for cost. It's a good thing for consumers that we focus more on quality. But it also raises a lot of challenges around how do we really do that systemically? And because there's a lot of changes that have to happen. So yeah, I think those are some of the things that we're going to see. And obviously the rise of the consumer and giving them more tools and to make decisions to help their family members. I think these are areas that really we have to focus down on and to get figured out.
And I don't think there's going to be any imperative from HHS that's going to say something, or is there going to be imperative from other agencies? I think this concept of a private-public partnership, all of a sudden you open yourself up to, well, what about your ideas? How's this worked in Chicago? Well, really, how's this worked in Boston? Okay. And it's like many democratic institutions. It's awful sloppy and frustrating, and people get their feelings hurt and toes stepped on. At the end of the day, though, everyone gets a hearing and you move forward.
Yeah. And I think everybody, you know, I kind of go back to the spirit of getting this done and really the kind of that duty that we all feel. And I know my counterparts that we work closely with over at organizations within the federal government like CMS, ONC, Office of Civil Rights, and others, they all really are working hard to try to get this figured out with us and our private partners as well. So I think we will get this done. I know we will.
And speaking of done, we got to put a fork in. The show is done. We're running out of time here, Devin. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Devin Jopp, President and CEO of WEDI, the Workgroup for Electronic Data Exchange. Go to WEDI.org for more information. Thanks, Devin.
All right. Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.